Welcome to the Samuel Leeds podcast. This episode, we're going to be talking property. I'm going to be explaining exactly what I've been up to this week. It's been a crazy week. I hope you find this interesting, enjoyable, entertaining, and informative. What a week.
I know, it's crazy.
I am exhausted.
Yep.
You know what, when you commit to doing things like this, podcast every week, work out with Marvin every day. Sometimes, I can't remember who it was that said, either you've got to be disciplined in life or else life will discipline you.
It's true.
So it's like, here we are doing this podcast. Yeah.
Like, what are you doing straight after this?
I don't even know. I'm in such a daze.
Okay, I'll tell you.
You have to. You've been telling me for the last 2 days. I'm working out after this.
Yeah.
Great. Probably a horrible 1 hour workout. I don't even want to think about it.
Yeah.
I want to just do it.
Yeah.
Why think about it? Then it's more painful for longer. Let it just be 1 hour. But you know what? What a great week.
I know. So tell us a bit about, so we had a dinner.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
I don't know when, 2 days ago?
Yeah, 2 days ago.
Yeah, it was a Winners Wednesday dinner. So every week we have a student come on Winners Wednesday. Yeah. And now there's this fabulous lady called Amelia Asante, aka you, and you're running dinners. So,
yes.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, it was so nice.
You know what? Most of my friends are my success students. Mm-hmm. And just being in a room with 32 people that are financially free, having a three-course dinner with topping up wine.
Yeah.
I just loved every second of it. And I think as well, from a networking perspective, joint ventures, inspiration, it was really quite emotional. So we had a dinner.
Yeah.
We're going to have them all the time. I think every 6 months.
Yes, so we're going to have a Winners Wednesday dinner every 6 months.
Yeah.
It was incredible. Like the feedback, like everyone was posting on the group, like pictures of themselves, everyone's been connecting, which is exactly what we wanted.
Yeah.
We wanted to make it more of a community, so.
And I think everyone should do something like this. You should have a dinner at least every 6 months and invite the most successful people that you know.
Yeah.
Down to the dinner and pay the bill. Pay the bill, you know, and just be around good people.
Yeah.
You're the makeup of the people that you spend the most time with.
Yeah.
And for me as well, selfishly, I really enjoy it. But also, I think it's important to give, for me and you, to give our time back to people as well like that. So I loved it. It was great.
Yeah.
The bill was expensive, but it was great.
Worth it, because everyone loved it.
Yeah.
And then straight after that, we went to Liverpool.
Amelia, we finished at like 11.
Yeah.
In London, then we drove.
PM.
PM, then we drove, we got to Liverpool at like 3 o'clock?
Yeah.
3 a.m.?
Yeah.
And then we had a few hours sleep and then boom, we were viewing houses all day in Liverpool.
Yeah.
We had meetings, viewing houses. We finished at about 3 p.m.
Yeah.
Then we drove to the crash course in London, Heathrow.
Mm.
I literally got out of the car and went on stage. I got pranked real bad on stage.
That was horrendous. I hated doing that.
Did you? Talk about the prank.
So, basically, Samuel is a bit of a prankster. Always pranking people. So,
have I pranked you? I think I have.
Yeah, you will have done.
I pranked you last night when you slept over.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I pretended that your bedroom was something else.
Yeah, looked like a dog bed.
I was like, this is your room. And you looked and you were like, oh. Okay. I was like, is that what I can? You were on the floor and you were like, oh. And I was like, that's not really. Yeah, but anyway, so I got pranked seriously bad.
By Russell.
But the lead up to it was that it was literally a few years ago now and he still holds a grudge, man. Russell had 9 points on his license and he was desperately waiting for 5 years to pass and then his license gets wiped and it was like 4 years and 10 months and he was like, oh my gosh, and he was driving really carefully because he didn't want to lose his license because if you get 12 points you lose your license. And I sent him a letter pretending to be the police, probably illegal, I'd probably get done for it now, pretending to be the police, telling him that he'd been seen speeding and he had 3 points and literally he like was almost sobbing. He was just like, so, and I was thinking, has he seen the letter, is he not? And I waited a few hours and then I called him up and I was like, everything okay? And he was like, it's been a terrible morning.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh no. I said, and he said he'd been on the phone to my dad for hours like trying to work out how to dispute it, and I was like, I felt so bad, but I also thought it was hilarious.
And that's why he's now out for revenge.
He got revenge last night.
He called me in the morning and was like, we're going to prank Samuel. I'm going to tell you more about it when you get here. But basically, he's going to walk on stage and nobody's going to clap.
And I was but it's so much worse than nobody's going to clap. Yeah, it's so much worse.
Just no even. And I thought, oh, somebody will woo or somebody will celebrate. Nothing. No, just, the audience were great for doing that.
So when I got back from Liverpool after driving for 4 hours,
yep.
I go backstage. I mentioned, and you are like, oh, let's just go a bit further. Let's go. And you took me outside.
Yeah, because they were announcing it to everyone.
Right. Everyone was in on it. It was a conspiracy. And then I come on stage. And normally it's like, you know, welcome Samuel Lees. And I come out. And people usually clap and cheer, maybe even stand up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and the music's all pump in. And I'm like, oh, cool. And then I'll say, you know, how's it been today? And I'll chat. And everyone's really engaged and excited. And they'll teach them loads about property.
Yeah.
But yeah, I came out.
It was crickets.
No, it was the worst. I came out and I was like, you know.
I felt there
was,
horrible.
But before I even asked a question or even... it was just silent, and I was thinking, what the heck?
Yeah.
I think if we've got the footage, if someone was filming, yeah. we need to publish that.
Yeah,
or at least I need to see it. Maybe we don't need to publish that, probably really stupid. And I was like, what is going on? And I was like, hey guys, how's it been? And everyone was just silent, just looking at me blank. And I just thought, have I missed something? Like, is there a... And I was... It was just the most awkward, horrible... I think I just felt the life leave my body. and I just was like... What
is
and then I think it? I then picked up I was being pranked and I was like, it is a prank on? And then Russell came out, but that was crazy. And then we
that
yeah
was mental. And I enjoyed the bit before where I was getting you to exercise outside.
Yeah,
Russell was like, you need to make Samuel go outside because I need to tell the audience. So I was thinking, how can I possibly get him outside? So I was like, Samuel, we need to go outside. You've not worked out with Marvin today, your yeah. personal trainer. I was like, you need to do some jumps. We've been sat in the car, so you were there doing jumps, star jumps,
all along
running.
I was being
filmed it
got
all.
At. But no, it was funny. Did I take it well?
Yeah, you took it well.
I found it funny.
I was like, how is he going to take it? I've messaged Russell halfway through the day, like, I don't know how he's going to take it.
Yeah, because it was on such a long day, right?
Yeah.
But it's all good. So the houses that we viewed, Liverpool
yes.
houses. We viewed
good
HMO.
Deals. Yep.
We viewed a serviced accommodation unit, mm-hmm. a little block with a few serviced accommodation units in it. We viewed a really cheap house, which is going to be a buy, refurbish, refinance opportunity. And we viewed a development opportunity with like commercial mixed use. And that was in Burnley and all the others were in Liverpool. So which
yeah.
one was your favourite house?
Ooh, I did love the one in Burnley.
The one in Burnley.
Because it was
great.
Just interesting. And the fact that like it had estate agents as well. Mm. So it's kind of like, it was really cool. And what else? I think they were all good, but I think the last two are my favourite.
I think, what did you learn? Yeah. What did you learn? Was this yesterday? Yes, it was yesterday.
Yeah.
What did you learn?
Days go so fast. I think the main thing that I learn is there's like three main things that you're looking out for. Can you go into those a little bit more detail?
No, I'm going to let you. I'm going to enjoy listening to you go into those things. Are you on about the three prizes or the three figures
yes.
that you need to know?
Okay, yeah.
So we'll do one at a time. You can do the first one.
Okay, seeing as like how much are you putting in?
Yeah,
so what
purchase
are you purchasing
price.
For? Yeah.
Yeah, how much are you buying the property mm-hmm. for? Second thing is...
Second thing is any fees and refurb prices?
Fix-up price. Development cost.
Development cost.
You know what? You're actually really good at property. Like you.
I feel like I'm going to say this wrong. I was going to be like, no.
No, you're
really,
you so much
channel.
On the property business. So the first thing is, what's the purchase price? Second thing is,
yeah.
how much is it going to cost to refurb?
Yeah.
And then ultimately...
What are you going to sell it for?
Yeah, or the end value.
Yeah,
end value.
Valuation.
So we were just crunching numbers and getting those figures.
Yeah.
And what's your role? Because you do help with property stuff. Like, I know
yeah.
obviously we've got surveyors and this, but you really have. You're kind of, like, you talk with a lot of agents.
Yeah, no, it was interesting. Like, booking, so I helped book some of the viewings.
Yeah.
And kind of got, like, your, like, power team people and, like, helped them book stuff.
Yeah.
For Wednesday.
For anyone who doesn't know, who are you to me?
Talent manager? Manager?
I just say you're my manager.
Yeah.
Like, but you're talent manager. So yeah. you basically do... Everything.
Yeah.
Talent related.
Bits of everything. yeah.
I don't even know. Everything.
Extra stuff. I don't think I have a job description.
What's work-life balance like for you?
Work-life balance. I feel like for a lot of people, I think they enjoy kind of 9 to 5 and being at work and then off work. And they know when they finish work, they can kind of, they don't have to be contacted. Mm. That's their time.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
there's
nothing wrong.
There's no right or wrong.
It's like what people prefer. But I yeah. think for me and how I am, I'm an all or nothing kind of person. So for me, I don't mind doing like crazy long days when there's stuff to do. But then I just want to know that when I need a day off, when I can feel that I'm like, I'm drained.
Your body tells you, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that's how I like to work. So I think we kind of like, in the company, it's very like, you let people kind of work how they want. And I think in a situation of how we work, like even like last night, we were up to like, what, 3?
No. We were up till 5 last night.
Was it that late? 5 I didn't even look at my clock in the end.
But the thing is, sometimes, like we've been having like 2 hours sleep a night.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Which is just insane. Do you know what I kind of think when I think of like, because people say, oh, you're going to burn out.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Grant Cardone, who's kind of mentoring me at the moment, he says, you're not going to burn out. You're not a candle. Right, but here's the thing. When you're exercising, everything's going to relate back to exercising now because of what I'm doing with Marvin. It's all this, it consumes me. But when you're exercising, do you know when you've got good hurt and you've got bad hurt? Do you know what I mean by that? Okay, so if I'm doing squats and I can feel it burning, I'm feeling like, oh, it's burning, but it's a healthy burn.
Mm-hmm.
But then if I feel like, oh, it's like really painful on my knees. Oh, yeah. And it's like, oh, that's not good. And if you push through that kind of pain, it's going to get worse. It's actually going to make you injured.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the burn is like, yeah, do it. Yeah. So it's depending on the type of pain, you can know if it's healthy or not. And I think with working really hard, sometimes your body will just tell you enough. You need a day out. You need a couple days or whatever it might be because you think, you know what? I'm going to run myself ill if I keep doing this. I'm actually getting really, I'm not functioning well. I'm not. And that's when it's like, time out, recharge. In the same way you recharge your phone, it's like, I need to recharge. But I think when it's just like, okay, I'm really tired and I'm really, and it's crazy busy and I'm hectic, but actually you're growing through it and it's fun and you're enjoying it. And it's like, well, why do you need to stop? Why do you need to say, oh, actually, I need to have some time out in case I burn out? No, it's good.
Yeah.
It's healthy.
I think just self-awareness, just understanding when you need time and that kind of thing.
What did you think of that video that I put up, which some people said was actually pointed at you?
Which one? The 9 to 5?
And obviously it wasn't pointed at you. But I had to. We won't go into the details too much. Now I'm doing what you do. You put me on the spot in these podcasts to make things awkward for me. So boom, I'm getting revenge. Yeah.
Okay, no. you can explain more.
So, yeah, I mean, basically I put a video out. The only reason
I'm putting it on you now.
No, because I put a video out saying about how employees should act if they want to be successful and how they should almost act as business people. They should replace themselves and as if it's their own business. And then actually what will happen is they'll go really far. The video's done really well. I think it got like, how many views has that had, Nick? 15,000? I think it's 15,000 in a few days. It's doing really, and it's getting so much love, that video, which surprised me because I think that a lot of my videos, people think that I'm bashing jobs or I'm bashing employees. Like I'm saying, oh, become financially free. You don't want a job. Actually, that's not my message. I've got a job. Yeah. I employ myself. Like, I'm not against jobs. What I'm against is people not living to their potential. Yeah. What I'm against is I'm against people being in a job where they can't grow and they look at the watch and at 5 o'clock they leave and they're clock watching and they do that until they're 67.
Mm-hmm.
That's sad. That's a sorry existence. I hate that. And there's another way. And property is just a vehicle. But actually, I encourage people to be in a job that they enjoy, where they can grow, make as much money as they can, and then invest smart on the side and grow a passive income or create a legacy. That's just great.
Yeah,
so my message to my own members of staff, like you and Nick and everybody here, my message to my own members of staff is actually the exact same message to my students that I'm teaching about property. It's not a different message.
Yeah.
It might be slanted different because most of the people that maybe come to the crash course, there might be a lot of people that come and, oh, I want to get out of my job. Whereas I'd like to think that with people within my team, they actually love their job. And I think most people do.
Yeah.
So it might be a different side to the coin, but actually the message is congruent. And if it wasn't, I wouldn't be able to grow a big team and I wouldn't be able to grow. And it kind of like freaks me out a bit when I see big entrepreneurs bashing employees. And it's like, but you employ people. Yeah. How can you bash employees?
So what's that saying to your team?
Exactly. How can you be like, oh, employees, that's stupid. It's like, what? How can you say that? Yeah. And it's just not true. 80% of business owners fail in the first 5 years, and the 20% that succeed, on paper succeed, all that means is they didn't go bankrupt, they didn't close the business. But probably they end up on less than the minimum wage. So that's hard, but being in a good career, I think it's great. So I think it was an interesting video, but I got quite passionate in the video and I was kind of annoyed in the video about people that are employees with a employee mindset rather than being a member of staff with an entrepreneur's mindset. And when I put the video out, I can't remember what it was. I don't know if we'd had a small argument, maybe.
It's all coming out.
But nothing at all. But I posted it and I was advised by HR. They were like, don't put that out just yet because it might look time sensitive. Put it out in a couple of weeks. But what did you think of the video?
I thought it was good. It made sense.
It wasn't even aimed at you in the slightest. No. Was it?
Wink, wink.
But you know what, though? I must say, yourself and everybody in the team, like, have such a good attitude. Yeah. And I'm just like, I mean, we're sat around people now, like, here. Like, I am so just impressed with everybody in the team going through the bad times as well as the good times.
Yeah.
I mean, some of you guys, like Nick, who's in the room, he came on actually. He worked for my brother's company. Then when me and my brother teamed up, moved to our company, then moved house to London. It's like the kind of commitment. And you moved from Manchester to Wolverhampton, and then the following month from Wolverhampton when we moved offices to London.
Yeah.
And you were homeless.
Oh yeah.
You could have been the Financial Freedom Challenge homeless person.
Honestly, I had bin bags on the back of your car and you were like, get them out.
Yeah. What happened?
Basically, I had all my stuff in bin bags.
Yeah.
I'd just finished uni, so I was like fully no money really.
Yeah.
I didn't even have a proper suitcase, so I had like my pillows and stuff in bin bags. And then I remember we had some, you basically moved me down to London.
Yeah.
We were doing some work, so we were in and out of hotels. And then there's
we were like on the road for a couple of weeks, just living in hotels.
Honestly.
And you were carrying around bin liners.
Yeah. And then there was a point at which I was like, I probably need somewhere to live. And so I ended up actually staying at someone's house for like a week and a half, I think. And then went into an Airbnb with another one of the employees and then got my own place.
Yeah.
So it was a journey, but
we're going to do
amazing.
A podcast at some point because I know little bits come out, but I want to I want to talk to you at some point about the whole experience.
Yeah.
From how you found out about us.
Yep.
How we found out about you. What happened. Because it's an incredible story.
Yeah.
But why don't you give me the nutshell right now?
Yes. So I basically, you posted that you wanted a videographer.
Yeah. And you were giving emo posts before that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll go back then.
No, you weren't giving emo posts. You posted and you said like, I think you were at a crossroad in life, weren't you?
Yeah. So basically my mum's into property. But she was doing it the traditional wrong kind of way where she was doing the BRRR and she would basically buy a house, do it up, sell it. But she'd always get to that point where she was really struggling for money just before she'd sell it.
Mm.
So I was like, oh, there must be a better way to do this. That's when I came across you and that's when we came to Crash Course. From there, we booked on the DfE and that was all good. I'd kind of been watching and I was like,
Didn't you win the DfE?
Yes. I paid for it.
And then I won it. And then I was like, I'm not giving you the money. You got to put that towards the academy.
Luckily enough, I did installments. So I got the last ones for
it. Okay.
But yeah, I actually won the viral video, the first FF challenge.
Because you wrote the description very first FF challenge.
Which is crazy. So yeah.
You got on my radar.
Yes.
The very first time.
Yeah. And I was just like, keeping up to date with stuff. We even found a post that I'd done, like a comment I'd done on Nick's video, his Uganda documentary. I can remember watching it when I was like in the middle of writing my dissertation and I'd wrote something because he was like upset they didn't get as many views because it's an amazing piece of content. If you haven't watched it, you need to.
People don't watch that kind of stuff because it doesn't show them how to make money.
Yeah.
So if I say, oh, here's a documentary about what I did in Africa, people are like, yeah, we don't care.
Yeah.
Not everybody, but most people.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, but fair enough. But then it's like, here's me becoming financially free from scratch. That will go viral.
Yeah.
But I just put content out that I want people to see.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, go on.
And I commented like, I was commenting as I was watching it. So I think I'd put like maybe 3 comments. And I thought, I can't believe this video didn't get this many views.
Yeah.
It's an amazing piece of content. And it's funny because we found it the other day and we were like, oh, so cute. Because obviously now I'm working here.
Oh, yeah. And I saw the messages from like ages ago between even me and you.
Yeah.
Because you messaged me on Facebook. I love doing that. I love going to like Alistair, Ricky Mandel, Anthony John Wilmer, all these people that are now like really, really, really close friends of mine. And then I'll go right to the bottom of the Facebook messages and they've reached out to me on Facebook and they're like, oh, I'm trying to book on the Crash Course, but the link's not working or something.
Yeah.
Or I've booked on, are you going to be there? Yeah. And then they're like, oh, I just wanted to say thanks so much for the Crash Course. It was a fantastic time. And it's just like, from going from almost just like a fan to a friend is just so weird.
And that's what all the stories were like at the winner's dinner.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, okay, so there'd be people sat in the room that they'd be like, I first initially came to the Crash Course because I saw this person's winner and they were sat across the table for them.
Mm.
And like, obviously everyone was there because of
the rippling effect.
Like, yeah, the rippling effect.
Like, yeah,
it's insane.
But like someone would be like, I came to the crash course and joined the academy as a result of watching John Raybould's video. And John Raybould is across the table. Thank you, John. And then someone would then say, and I came because of your video. And it's like the organic snowballing effect of growth and success from people sharing their stories as a result of coming through the training is phenomenal.
Yeah. It was insane. It was just crazy. And like people that come to the crash course now, it's like you might be there in 6 months.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy. In a year's time, we're going to have another like 52 winners. Can't wait.
Every week.
Bigger also, event each year.
I remember bringing, you put a post up on Facebook, on our Facebook group.
Yeah. So basically from then, I had university. So I had like my dissertation to do and all that kind of stuff. And when I finished, I was obviously looking for a job. And you'd put a post on Facebook about, had I put a post first?
No, you did, no, I think you put a post at first and you were like, and you, it wasn't an emo post. I take the mickey out of you, but it was like, I don't know what to do. I'm a bit of a crossroads.
Yeah.
Should I do this, should I do this? And it was a bit like, oh, I'm stuck in a rut kind of post.
Yeah.
Finished university, didn't quite know what
to
do.
The sort of thing you do when you've got nothing else to do in the afternoon.
Yeah, whatever. And then I remember seeing it and I remember actually, oh, I hate to admit it, but I remember just sort of like thinking like, ugh. Yeah, I did. I was just like, ugh.
I thought, ugh, of myself.
I was like, ugh, get a grip.
But then in my defense, I was like, oh, at least I had the confidence to write it. Because initially, like, I would normally do that.
Fair enough.
So then I was like, because I remember, I think I was going for some interview or something.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, and it was to do with property.
Yeah, it was.
I was actually going
Shall I do this? Shall I do this? I don't know what to do. And to be fair, what you said, there's nothing wrong with it at all. But at the time, I just was a bit like, ugh.
Yeah.
And then maybe a week later or a few days later, happened to post saying, oh, I'm looking for a videographer.
Yeah.
You applied.
Yeah. No, I didn't even apply. You put it up and I said, if you're ever up, because you were like for in London, a videographer in London.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not in London, but you know, if you ever need any help filming up north, I'm here, like for free, whatever. Just let you know I'm here. You messaged me on Facebook straight away.
I wasn't interested in doing filming up north.
Oh yeah, no, you weren't. So you messaged me, obviously with an agenda.
Because you were commenting on everything, on all the posts, and I liked you. You'd been to the DfE, you'd written the financial freedom thing.
I hadn't been to the DfE yet.
Oh, you hadn't? My bad. Crash course, sorry. But I was just kind of like, you know, she seems cool, you know, commenting nice, good energy.
Right, sad posts.
And when you, no, because when you posted that, when you messaged me, and we're like, oh, you know, if you need to help in Manchester or whatever, let me know. I think I then actually searched your name, and I think I found your YouTube channel.
Ooh,
brand.
Yeah.
Brand. Power of brand.
Yeah.
And I watched your YouTube channel. I thought, actually, you know, this lady has got really good energy and seems really cool. I think she'd be a great videographer because you're putting your own videos out anyway. So then I messaged you and I said, I don't remember what I said, but I think
you said something like, are you good?
No. What I did is I said, are you free for a call?
Yeah.
And then you responded and said, yes, I called you immediately and said, are you a good videographer?
Mm-hmm.
You said, yeah. How many minutes did it take me? Like 2 minutes?
Yeah.
And I was just like, what are you doing on Monday?
Yeah. This was the Thursday. This was Thursday night.
Yeah. And I was like, what are you doing on Monday? You were like, don't know. I was like, I want you to come and start working full time for the company on Monday.
I'll meet you in Doncaster. You can start filming that day. And I was like, what? This is crazy. Because I'd finished uni, went straight on holiday to Mexico. That was literally the first week that I was just kind of like, okay, coming back to reality.
Mm.
I need a job. That happened. I was in Edinburgh the weekend because I was actually like filming and doing some stuff for my cousin for a wedding.
Yeah.
And then on the Monday in Doncaster with a backpack and a camera. Yeah. And that was it.
I know. And now you've gone from videographer and you did really well. Did really well with videography.
Yep.
But I don't think you were like, oh, I want to be a videographer forever. I'm passionate about video. You were good.
I just understood the value of videography, which is why I learned the skill.
I mean, some of the guys who are in the team are like really, really good videographers.
And they love it.
That's their thing.
Yeah.
Whereas you were good.
Yeah. But it wasn't mine.
But not quite as good.
Here comes the truth. The truth
about you. And you did some videos that went really well.
Yeah.
You did the Millionaire Mansion video and stuff like that. You were good. You know, ended up wanting to do other stuff.
Yeah.
You want to change job, you can just change job within the same company.
Yeah. I just found, for me, I'm the sort of person, I won't take over from something and be leadership in something if like it's going all well. Like if I see someone leading a team or leading something and it's going all well, I'm very happy.
What
do
the guys think when you stepped out of videography?
They joked about it.
Yeah.
I think they were happy for me because I think I filled a niche and it helps them.
Yes.
Because what I'm doing now,
you're giving them stuff to film, all the talent.
Yeah, literally. So, like, for example, for my role now as talent manager, I will basically, anyone that comes on the YouTube channel, I will look after, I'll get people on the channel. So any like celebrities, experts, Winners on a Wednesday, Samuel, I'll look after. So that kind of thing. So it helps them.
Yeah.
Because it's a problem.
What's your vision? What's your vision in 2020? Your 2020 vision?
For this role?
Yeah, well, just you in general, within the company, whatever. What's your 2020 vision?
My vision is I'm going to be strong, powerful, businesswoman.
Yeah.
I want to just become like the best at my job.
Yeah.
I don't believe anybody is kind of like irreplaceable, but I just want to be so valuable.
You actually, one of the things that we talked about is you want to become replaceable.
Yes. Yeah.
Why? Why do you want to replace yourself?
Because if you don't, like say if I kept all this information myself, so say if I was learning how to do stuff, learning how to talk to influencers, but kept to myself, didn't write a manual, didn't tell people because I was like, oh, if I tell people, then you can easily get rid of me sort of thing.
Yeah.
But then all that would happen is someone would get employed above me.
Yeah.
To basically head up my department, you know, if it starts expanding.
True.
And actually I would want to be at the point where I have a manual, where I can train people and I'm bringing people on under me.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's
you cannot get promoted unless you replace yourself.
Yeah.
And that's as a employee, an entrepreneur, a business owner, a leader.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always replacing myself. Constantly replacing myself. And I think that if you want to go really far, and if you're a specialist, it might be a bit different. Like, for instance, if you're an accountant, you just want to be the best accountant ever. You might not want to replace yourself. You just want to be a specialist accountant.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to have a team under you and stuff, then of course you need to replace yourself. You need to be a trainer. A trainer and a leader are actually the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think you're doing really well. I'm really excited. What's it been like working with me over the last sort of 6 months?
Yeah, loved it. It just, it worked a lot. I think a lot can be said for working for a company where you align with their values and you align with how the kind of role goes. Like I think at the start, because we were very much like, as we are now, you know, 24/7, like filming, on the road kind of thing.
Mm.
And then when we moved to London, it was a little bit more like office based, 9 to 5 for a while. And so I had kind of like a taste of both.
Yeah.
And I think for me, definitely, I fit more in the like, on the road, here and now, kind of lifestyle. Just my personality.
It's funny though, because I can go into the media team, you know, there's like 5 or 6 videographers, and I can say, you know, oh, I'm going to be doing this adventure on Saturday. I'm going to be, and some people will be like, oh my gosh, I want to come. And then other people are like, I wouldn't love to come, but I will. But it's almost like, why force somebody to try and do, I think it's better as a leader to let people do what they want to do and what they're good at and what they love, rather than trying to put people in boxes, give people titles and jobs and restrictions. Actually just, hey, let's grow, let's love, let's go together.
Yeah.
You know, in the same way of trying to get me to do something like an admin role, I wouldn't love it. I'd rather be working on different stuff. I think it's the same within the company.
Yeah, and I just think your management style suits me quite well in terms of, for example, if you wanted me to do something, you know that shouting at me or talking a certain tone, that would never get me to do something. As soon as somebody is like disrespectful, ears just turn off.
So how do I as your, I guess, leader, or you know, how do I manage you?
You manage me by, like, say if you really want me to do something, you would obviously just ask me and just be like, this is super urgent, I need to do this. If I then wasn't doing it again, you would say again. And I don't think there's ever been a time where you've kind of said, oh, I really need to do this, and you kept saying that I've just like completely ignored it.
I think it's just respect as well. I think having a heart of gratitude for everybody and appreciation for all of the team, everybody, I think that is, for me, I think the number one thing. Don't be an entitled as an employee, but also don't be an entitled as a boss or a manager. If you're entitled, expectant, you know, I just think you've got to be grateful, appreciative for people. And the team hold me together, pick up the mess, support me, surround me. I think, there are times when I do micromanage, I think. Maybe at small times. Probably Nick would say that. You know, like, oh man, that comma needs changing. You know, like the tiniest things. Because I know exactly how I want it. So, and I almost think leaving people, being like, oh, I'm not going to be involved, you just do whatever, has its merit, but also...
Yeah. I think it's hard because you've kind of, you've delegated, but it's like, it's irresponsible, I think, for an entrepreneur to basically have a business, say to this person, do that, but don't ever check it, don't ever advise it, because it's kind of irresponsible, because then if it all goes wrong, why have you not been helping? Why have you not been,
I'm learning, and I'm also... or you know, I get feedback from you guys, you know, what can I do better, and stuff like that. So yeah, and it's just a great privilege to be in the company, you know, on the property side, on the media side. I have all my different worlds with different people. You know, I was talking. Tell me about that.
You were saying you have different worlds. So, for example, with a conversation with me, we might be talking about like influencers, celebrities that are reaching out. Then with MHR, we're talking about more like HR stuff.
Yeah. With Russell. Because for you, your whole world is influencers, talent, filming, like booking me in for speaking engagements, is all the that kind of stuff. And that's your world, and I have that whole world with you.
Yeah, but then whereas Russell, he'd be like sales.
And finance, and income, and numbers, and figures, and deals.
So if you go, Russell, we've just had this amazing collaboration with this influencer, he won't be interested. But if you went, and it's resulted in this,
Russell's like, show me the numbers.
Yeah.
You know, oh, I went to Liverpool yesterday. We had a great day, and we got a load of filming done. He's like, yeah, but did you get a deal?
Yeah.
Russell wouldn't care of that. I mean, he would care, but he's more, you know. Yeah. And then with other people, it's like, oh, how's everyone getting on? Like, I'm talking to MH. It's like, how's all the staff? Is everyone happy? That's kind of her world.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of just, you know, a finger in every world, depending on the day of the week.
Which do you prefer?
My favorite stuff. That's a really hard question. I think for me, it has to be variety. I mean, I do love the media stuff.
Yeah.
You doing the YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. I may sound that because Nick's right here. No, I love the media stuff.
Yeah.
I love that. And I think I also really enjoy just seeing people impacted.
Okay.
You know, so if it just like the winners, wins, the stuff that you do as well. On the property side, I really, really enjoy talking to our property director and just seeing the deals, and he's just awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know. It depends on what day of the week you catch me. So, that's cool. Listen, I really, you're so cool. And I think next time, who do you want to select for the podcast next time? I'm thinking Nick.
Nick, yeah.
I'm thinking Nick would have some good stories.
Yeah. Or we could do a three-way podcast. For that?
I think we should just, I think if me, you, we'll and Nick did it, I think me and Nick would just spend 45 minutes just dissing you, I think.
Yeah, potentially.
Yeah, we probably would. But we've got some cool guests coming on, though.
Yes, we've got Marvin.
Marvin. I'm going to bring my personal trainer on, but also we've got some celebrities.
Celebrity, I think. Guests.
That's your bag.
Yeah.
We've got loads of celebrities we're working with. Big names, a lot of footballers, some pop stars, and there's some people that have said they'd love to come on the podcast, which is really cool.
Yeah.
So before, I wouldn't have even been able to manage all of the emails that I get from all of these people, but now I have you to keep the relationships, to answer the messages is great. So guys, I hope you enjoyed the podcast. I hope you got a lot of valuable information as well as entertainment from me and Amelia Asante, and we look forward to seeing you next time.